just come among us, Lord, tonight and meet our needs. And just, Father, whatever we have need of, Father, you know all things. And we, Father, of all people are needy people because we trust completely in you to meet our needs. We're not like so many other people who have a lot of other resources and whatever to meet their needs, and they try a lot of different things. But, Father, we come completely to you, Father. So we pray, Father, that be the Father that we have needed, that you want to be, Lord. Open the word to us and help us to see and recognize you tonight a little bit more than we did before. Lord, we ask this in your name. Amen. If you turn your Bible to Exodus, the 7th chapter. Exodus 7. We're going to look at Christ a little bit in the Old Testament. See if we can recognize him there. And then, of course, it doesn't do a whole lot of good to recognize him yesterday if we don't recognize him today. So we'll bring him all the way down today. Exodus 7, verse 8. And the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, when Pharaoh shall speak unto you, saying, show a miracle for you, then thou shalt say unto Aaron, take thy rod and cast it before Pharaoh, and it shall become a serpent. And Moses and Aaron went in unto Pharaoh, and they did so as the Lord had commanded. And Aaron cast down his rod before Pharaoh and before his servants, and it became a serpent. Then Pharaoh also called the wise men and the sorcerers, now the magicians of Egypt. They also did in like manner with their enchantments, for they cast down every man his rod, and they became serpents. But Aaron's rod swallowed up their rods. And he hardened Pharaoh's heart, that he hearkened not unto them, as the Lord had said. You may be seated. Tonight we want to talk about the significance of Jannes and Jambres today. Now, in the Old Testament, it doesn't even name them. Paul names them. He calls them Jannes and Jambres. And it wasn't that he has given them specific names. We have the idea that there's two different people speak that he's talking about. But he's just describing. Not getting into that too much. But anyways, we know Brother Branham talked about Jannes and Jambres quite a bit through his message. He referred to them, and he referred to what Paul says about them, how they're going to be in this day. So let's go ahead and just turn to 2 Timothy and read what Paul said about them, how it brings them down to our day. I am really cold. I'll warm up. Okay, 2 Timothy 3:1. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. So, are we in the last days? All right? Perilous times are here, right? We can tell because Paul said it would be, and we can see it by looking around. Now, when Paul's talking about perilous times, he's not talking about North Korea getting another nuclear weapon or Iran and Saudi Arabia in a war. He's talking about within the church perilous times among Christians, right? This is where the perilous times are for us. And brother and sister, we know that if we are elect, we cannot be deceived. But brother and sister, it's going to be so close that if it was possible, we would be deceived. It's that close. It is that perilous. And so we don't want to just walk around, well, I can't be deceived. I can just do whatever. No, brother and sister, it's the word that's going to keep you from being deceived. Because you can find yourself heading down the wrong path if you aren't careful. Now, the Holy Spirit and the ministry will bring you back and get you back on the straight and narrow. You say, well, I don't know about that. Well, I have, because I've done it. I was raised off on the wrong path, brother and sister, and some of you were too. So the Holy Spirit brings us back and gets us back right. So we are in the last days. There's perilous times. We can look around the church and see it. The very thing we're talking about is part of the perilous times, because we're going to see Jannes and Jambres are part of the perilous times. Verse 2, for men shall be lovers of their own self. Look, he said, perilous times coming now. He said, for men shall be lovers of their own self. This is perilous. This is what makes these times perilous, brother and sister. They're covetous, they're boasters, they're proud, they're blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, and calling themselves message believers. And preaching. And living a really good-looking life. What happened? What are all these? Look. What's Paul doing? He says it just is. He lists all these things out. What's he saying? He says their nature hasn't been changed. That's the problem. They never had a new birth. They're still the old nature is there. That's what's driving them. And yet they have a form of godliness. They look holy. They have a sanctified life. They can tell you what Brother Branham said. They go to church and sit in a pew and they pay their tithe. Perilous times. How can this be? How can these people think I have these attributes and yet I'm a message believer? How can it be they're lovers in themselves, they're boasted, they're proud, and yet they're a message believer, and you couldn't talk them out of it if you had to? Having a form of godliness, but what? Denying the power thereof. Now, we're going to find out that they have a lot of power. Did not Jannes and Jambres have a lot of power? They could do exactly what Moses did. Think about that as we go on. Denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For this is the sort that creep into houses, lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. They know what the prophet said. It says ever learning to go to church and the preacher preaches and preaches and preaches, quotes after quotes, and scriptures and mysteries, and they had this great big, they know everything there is to know about the message, about Brother Branham, about the Bible. They would go to a seminary, brother and sister, and teach them folks something. Seriously. Ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. What's the knowledge of the truth? Well, I understand what Brother Branham said. I can understand the mysteries. I can tell you about the seals. I can tell you about these mysteries. I can tell you how to wear your hair. I can tell you all these things. Never come to the knowledge of the truth. It's the same thing as having a form of God in us and denying the power thereof. Because, brother and sister, the truth isn't just because, like, the Bible is true, right? And yet I know this is true, and yet I can know everything in word for word and never come to the knowledge of it. Because Jesus said, I build my church on revelation. It's the manifestation of the word, brother and sister. Ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now, as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. Now, he said, denying the power thereof. Jannes and Jambres had power. They could do exactly what Moses did. Extent, right? But brother and sister, that is the deception. That is why these people are fierce, they're proud, they're blasphemers, they're disobedient, they're unthankful and holy, and yet they say, I know I'm a message believer because I've seen power in my life. I sit under a preacher who has power in his life to perform miracles and signs and wonders, and I get anointed, and I can shout, and I can scream, and I can feel the power of God, and I know what it's like to be in the presence of God. Don't tell me. That's the deception, brother and sister. They had the power just as Moses. Moses did something, they did the same thing. Now, it's not going to do any good to leave that clear back there. We need to bring it right up here. In the monks, Brother Branham said, within the framework of the true church, the Antichrist spirit working, right? And he can perform miracles and signs and wonders and deceive all but the very elect. And he will. All on the earth whose names are not written in the Lamb's Book of Life will be deceived, brother and sister. Why the signs and the wonders and the power he has to do. So you look around at message churches and you see him doing this and you see him doing that, and there's miracles and there's power and all this stuff going on, and that's the deception. That's the deception. think they're okay. I remember a long time ago, I worked with this lady, and she was a Methodist. And she says, I know I'm a Christian. She said, because when I went up to the altar to give my heart to the Lord, I felt something. She felt it. You couldn't tell her she's not. Well, you say, well, that's a Methodist. How many message believers are in that exact same condition? Well, I know when I went to the altar, I felt something. I cried. I felt the anointing. I danced. I did whatever. It's the same thing, brother and sister. Look, here's the difference. The motive, the purpose behind what Moses did, and the purpose and the motive behind what Jannes and Jambres did tells the tale. Because see, when Moses came and performed a miracle, he was fulfilling the word for that day. When Jannes and Jambres did a miracle, they were just showing we got power. That's the difference. You can go to message church and they can have a healing. You got miracles. You can have dancing. You can have anointings. And look at all the power we got. And you go to a real group of people, the real bride, and they say, yeah, we got power, but what is it doing? It's vindicating the message for this day. This is the word being fulfilled in our midst. There's the difference, brother and sister. Just because you got power doesn't mean you're fulfilling the word at all. What makes you Christ-like, like I said before, is he was fulfilling the word for his day. Brother and sister, we must fulfill the word for our day to be Christ-like. All your holy living ain't doing squat for you if you're not fulfilling the word for your day. That's the whole thing in a nutshell right there. That's all I got to say tonight. We might as well go home now. You can have all the power in the world. You can raise the dead. But if you're not fulfilling the word. Now let me say this. Jannes and Jambres were fulfilling the word. These people who are doing this are fulfilling the word, but not the word you want to fulfill. Not the word for the elect. It's the make-believers. The ones who are being deceived just because and it's the genuine Holy Ghost in some place. I don't think it was the genuine Holy Ghost on Jannes and Jambres, but today it is. Amen. And they have faith to believe for these things. They have faith for miracles, and they have faith to do things. Someone came to my sister recently and said, you know, you need to come to our church. We raise the dead. These signs shall follow them that believe. You don't follow the signs. The signs follow you. So you got power in your church. That's wonderful. Where is the word being manifested? Where is Christ? Where is Christ? That's the question you need to be asking. You didn't come to our church because Christ is manifest among us. Now, does he do miracles? Yes, he does. These signs shall follow them that believe. They'll raise the dead. They'll heal the sick. They'll do all this. If you don't have that, you're dead too. But just because you have power does not mean that you're elect. Doesn't mean you're born again. Remember a long time ago, I've said this before, when I first was coming to church, you'd clear back a pond, and I would pray, and I'd feel the anointing come. And I remember thinking, you know, as long as I get so like discouraged and backslid and whatever, just how I could get to church, but I could pray and feel that anointing. And I thought, you know, as long as I pray and feel that anointing, I know I'm okay. Well, I outgrew that after a while. You can get anointed all day long. Let me read something Brother Branham said about this. Moses went down with the commandment of God to deliver Israel. And when he did, he performed some miracles. The impersonators followed him. If they had been first, he would have been the impersonator. He had the word of the Lord, and the Lord vindicated. He just sat still. So when you see someone, well, this has happened there. This church seemed to be doing that. You know, several years ago, some brother came along, and he could discern just like Brother Branham. So people jumped out. Oh, we got to go see this. You know what? Let me look. Look, all the great, amazing miracles and signs and stuff in Brother Branham's life, awesome, right? The discernment, right every time. First and second pull, it wasn't even the main thing. Think about it. That wasn't the main thing. That was not what caught the attention of the bride. Not that, it caught their attention, but it's not what kept her there. It's not the thing that she was looking for. She wanted more than just that. And yet, how many times if you see this, we raise the dead, I'm sorry, that's still second pull. You can do those things and not be in the Word for your day. It's the opening of the Word. And then people think, well, that means you preaching what the prophet said. It does not. It means what the prophet said happens. That's the opening of the Word. When a seed opens, it brings forth what's inside of it. It produces what's inside of it. That's the third pull. That's what we're talking about. That's the thing that attracts us. Can I just be honest? I hope so. I'm being honest. Look, I'm just going to pick randomly. Don't think anything of this. Brother Gene. Falls, has a heart attack and falls dead right here. Brother Jerry comes and prays for him and raises him back to life. That would be awesome. I ain't coming to see that. I'm coming to hear the Word preached. That's still the attraction, brother and sister. I'd love to see the miracles and I want to praise God for what he did for Brother Gene, but that's not going to keep me coming to church. I love to see miracles. Don't get me wrong. We need to see miracles. I want to see more. But you know the way God does things is he said, making sure our eyes aren't on that. If your eyes are on that, please change your focus. Why? Because we got to go into rapture. And to go into rapture, if you want to go, brother and sister, you need to look in the Word and see, that's me living that Word. How are you going to have faith if you don't recognize yourself in the Word? You're not going to have the faith. Why go to church when we have miracles? Sweet. If that's your attraction, you'll be here when we leave. I'm not talking about tonight. I'm talking about going in a rapture. It's the Word. It's the Word. It's the Word. It's the Word. Brother Man says that all the time, and so many times when you say it's the Word, go back to the Word. You can't go all the way with the Word. People think, well, they don't know all the doctrines like I do. It has nothing to do with it. He said, talking about Janus and Jambres, he said, you know that same thing's promised for the last day as Janus and Jambres withstood Moses? So these men of reprobate mind concerning the truth. When an organization takes a man right down through that organization, it showed it did not come from God. Because God does those things to attract the people's mind, and then the message follows it. If it isn't, then it's not God. So if his attraction is just a miracle, it ain't God. The message follows it. Think about that. What is our attraction? What a great sermon Brother Branham preached. What is the attraction on the mountain? What was the attraction? They were fulfilling scripture, not even realizing what they were doing. You say, well, Brother Phil, I just don't know, you know, if to point at this, what I'm... Listen, you're fulfilling scripture now you don't even know about. Hopefully you know some of it. Happened all the time in the Bible. It said, you know, they did something, and later they realized what they had done. They realized the prophet had spoke this of it. They're fulfilling the scripture just like you are currently doing. Everyone here is fulfilling scripture. Whether you're a Christian or not, you're still fulfilling scripture. We just want to make sure we're fulfilling the right scripture. He said, God does these things to attract people's mind, and then the message follows it. If it isn't, then it's not God. God always does that. Judas couldn't understand it. He walked right with him. He didn't see it. So just because people knew Brother Branham or went to the meetings, or they and they're message believers now, and they hear their tapes and all this, they can walk right with it and not see it, brother and sister. That doesn't mean anything. It's not the major, it's the minor. Divine healing is a minor. You can't major on a minor. The word living is the main thing. You got the main thing. That's what you need. Let me read something else here. He said, we have false impersonators rise up. What's that to do? It's to deceive. That's what it's there for, is to deceive. The Bible said they would. Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses. They're the same thing. Come right along impersonating just exactly. Be careful. Watch the doctrine of the Bible. Watch the message that follows them signs. Still the same old school message? Forget it. So, let's bring this to 2016. If a message believer is sitting under a minister who is still preaching what they preached in 1975, there's something wrong. They should be moving forward. We all should be moving forward. I'm not talking, we need new doctrines to preach. We need new mysteries to preach. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the Word bringing us further and further into the Word, that the Word is being made flesh among us, and we're seeing it happen. Your character, your desires, everything should be changing, brother and sister. We should be able to look at ourselves and see a maturity that wasn't here last year, that wasn't here 5 years ago. Are you moving forward with it? Or do you just have your favorite quotes? Well, I believe this doctrine this way, I believe this doctrine this way, and everything, we're just going on. He said, watch the doctrine of the Bible. Well, he said the doctrine of the Bible. Yes, what is the doctrine of the Bible? It's Christ. The word for your day happening. He said, God sent the miracles and signs to attract attention of his people. When Jesus come just healing the sick and forth and so forth, so did the prophets. They said, oh glory, he's coming. He's going to be a Pharisee. He's going to be a Sadducee. See, people want God to vindicate their church. They want to vindicate their religion. They want him to vindicate the way they believe. Why? Because then you don't have to change. See, I was right. Everyone wants to be right. And that's okay until you let your pride get in there. Who has the courage, who has the humility to say, I'm wrong? You do. Because you've changed over the last several years. And you know how you change? The first thing you do is say, I'm wrong. And then God can start changing you. It's true. But we like staying with our favorite quotes, our favorite doctrines, our favorite, well, I believe it this way. Why I believe it that way? Why I don't think you should do? Why I don't believe? Well, God doesn't ever ask how you believe it. He tells you what's right. Well, Brother Phil, I think that's just rude. Well, I didn't do this. I didn't start this. Tell God he's rude. People have no clue of who he is. We're just downstairs talking about this. People shake their fist at God. They're angry with God. And they, you know, well, when I get in front of God, I'm going to tell him. Clueless. He said, you generation of vipers and serpents, said, you're of your father, the devil. His works you do. Except to eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, there's no life in you. He didn't explain it. He didn't have to explain it. That was for another season. He just said what he had to say. I always do what's pleasing to the Father. That's keeping his word. If I don't, my life and my works don't compare with his word I'm supposed to, then don't believe me. I'm not him. But if it does, then believe the works. If you can't believe me, he said, now the Messiah, when he comes, he's supposed to do certain things to fulfill the word for his day, to prove that he's the Messiah. He said, now look in the scripture and see if I am not doing what the Messiah is supposed to do, even though it's not the way you thought it would be. Don't leave it back 2,000 years ago, brother and sister. Look in the scripture, see what the bride is supposed to fulfill today, and see if you're fulfilling it even though it's not what you expected it to be. Tell me you expected it to be this way. Tell me you figured we'd be here in 2016. No. 20 years ago, did you think this is the way things would turn out? Absolutely not. 20 years ago, if you had told me we're still going to be here and you're moving on, I thought, boy, we are going to be such spiritual giants. And man, we are just going to be like powerful. Woo! We are. But it ain't the way I thought it was going to be. Because you know what comes with that? Humility, brother and sister. Humility. Littleness. Smallness. Lose your reputation kind of thing. Not what my flesh wanted. Not what I expected. It's a time when I thought, you know, when that third pull really kicks in, boy, we're going to have power. We do. And you know what we do? We only do that what the Father shows us to do, so that when He speaks, we'll speak, and otherwise we shut up. Because that's the person He can release that power to correctly. How do you get to the humble? That humility. How do you get to that point where He can trust you? By sitting under a ministry that's going to bring the word, discern between your thoughts and your soul and your spirit, and He's going to bring you to a place where He cuts you down until you're right where He wants you to be. Then He says, now I can put you in place. Now I can trust you with the word. But if we don't sit under that kind of ministry, you're never going to get it. Got to be humble, brother and sister. It's got to be humble. It's got to be so humble that the message believers who know everything look right over the top of it and don't see it, because they got so much power going on in their lives, so much power in their church, but they don't recognize Christ. They don't see Christ in every word.
Let me move right along.
He said, why, this man, he sees visions and so forth. He does this. He run around with his man's wife. He believes in three gods and all these things. So he said, well, this man, he sees visions. He has power. He's anointed. He can preach whatever. But yet he runs around with another man's wife. He believes in three gods. He said, that don't stagger it a bit. That don't stagger it a bit. When you see these things happening, brother and sister, just know that we are in perilous times. It's supposed to be that way, so that anyone who has built on anything besides a solid rock of revelation will be shook down. And brother and sister, I can say this. Look, if you are being shook, you should be thanking God right now, because you still have time to make it right. You shake, oh, you know, every day I just wonder if I'm born again. And the saint tells me not to have. He brings all this evidence. Good. Hallelujah. Because if you can still be shook on that, you need to be shook until you hit the rock. Get everything else out of the way. Anything that you have confidence in, this wrong thing. The saint says, well, you still do this problem. You still got that problem. Get it all out in the open and get it exposed so God can get you to the rock. You can't be shook anymore, because everything that can be shook will be shook. All these trials are so precious to us if we just realize it. Trials come and it just tears us up. Hallelujah, it's supposed to. Because what we find out is so many times we get there and we're trying to prove this and we want to believe this and we're trying to do all this stuff, and Satan just kicking us around. He said, what's wrong with you? He said, why? Because you still got too much religion. You still got too much religion. You still believe it the way that you were taught 15 years ago. You heard some minister preach something some way, and you don't even remember where it comes from, but it's still affecting the way you believe. And he was wrong. And so the truth comes, and he starts preaching, and we hold on to that. Man, look, brothers, I believe much of this is so subconsciously we don't realize what's going on. Because if we would go through and look at the things you believe through your life, why do you believe this? Why do you believe this? And we trace it all the way back. Sometimes you couldn't trace it back because you don't remember. But someplace back there, some scoundrel told you a lie. And we're still sitting there, and God's saying, you know what? Let's keep coming to church. We got a ways to go. We got to get your mind right. You need to be renewed by the renewing of your mind, transformed by the renewing of your mind. Get all this junk out of there. Yeah, brother and sister. If you're still fighting those battles, someday I'm born again, someday I'm not. Sometime I feel so good, sometime I don't. Sometime I'm just sure, and then sometime I'm just, I don't know. You need to be thanking God for those trials. Because you're not going in the rapture with that doubt. So it's time to get rid of it. How do you do that? That's between you and God. But you have the right heart, you come to church with the right motive, the right heart, and the Word will bring you your deliverance. It's guaranteed. How can you guarantee that? Because He did it to someone else in the same condition who came with the right heart. And if you come with the right heart, God will act towards you the same way He did to the last person. He's a faithful God. Yes, He is. You need something from God, you just come with the right attitude. And the devil in hell can keep it from happening. Oh my. He said, as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, in the last days these impersonators would rise again. Did he say it? Well, we got them. But that didn't stagger Moses. When Moses turned around and done a miracle in the name of the Lord, and there's these impersonators did the same thing, that didn't stop him. He said, well, I guess I better quit and go off the field. That don't stagger us, brother and sister, when you see something going on here or this, all this stuff going on, brother and sister. We're not staggered by that. I hope you're not. And not after tonight anyways. You say, well, if you, Brother Phil, you preach about this and this is wrong and this is wrong, and yet I see them doing these wonderful things in the name of the Lord. What did Jesus say? In vain they worship me. In vain they worship. He didn't say in vain they worship some other god. In vain they worship Baal. He said in vain they worship me. They're worshiping under the name of Jesus Christ. They're worshiping under the name of the message of the hour. They're worshiping under the name of William Branham. They're worshiping just like we are, brother and sister. But it's in vain for so many people because they still don't know Christ. It's in vain. They pray and they listen to tapes and they go to church and they listen to preaching. They preach and preach and it's still in vain. Why? They've been deceived. What is the word for the day? He said he didn't go up the field. He said he stayed right there, talking about Moses. It was revealed to him. He knew by the word of God. He knew that the word would finally catch up with them. He knew there'd come a time when the word would manifest itself and they couldn't go no further. Do you hear what he said? The word would catch up with them. They can only go so far in the word. Why? Because the word would be made manifest and they could not go any further. My, that makes me happy. When the word is manifest, it stops people cold. That's what makes people upset. That's what stops them in their religion because their religion can't go there. That's what makes them mad. That's why they leave the church, because when the word is being manifest, they say, no, I don't want it that way. Isn't that what happened to Jesus? That happened to the prophets down through the age? Why is a Christian life so uncomfortable? Why is it so persecuted? Why are people so upset with it? Because when the word starts being made manifest, the light exposes the darkness. And it's never the way we want it to be. It's never the way we want it to be. And so what do? We go around looking for a church that we like. Oh my goodness, does that not sound ridiculous? I don't like it here. I'm going to find a church where I'm comfortable, where I like it. Well, go find your lukewarm bathtub. Enjoy it. The word made flesh, brother. The manifestation of it, brother and sister, it comes. Look, I'm going to say something that you're really going to be able to relate to. Pastor comes, he preaches, it's the word being manifest to get you right. And what does it do to you? It makes you uncomfortable. It's the chastening of the Lord. And what does the Bible say? Despise not the chastening. Now, have you fulfilled that? You didn't despise it. You might have for a while, but you got your mind right, didn't you? Yes, you did, because you're still here. Some people didn't get their mind right. It was a battle. He said the chasing never feels good. It's always something that's it's uncomfortable. You don't like it, but it brings the what? The peaceable fruits of righteousness. What is righteousness? Well, I live a really good life. Okay, Mr. Pharisee, I didn't talk about that. I said righteousness. Righteousness is doing God's will. The word for your day. I know I keep saying that, but I'm not going to quit. The manifestation, the word that you have to manifest. That's what Jesus said. He said, look at the scriptures. See what is written about me. Do I do it? So brother, sister, you're the bride. You're the bride. Look at the scripture. Look at the message and see what is written about us. Are we doing that? Now, if you go out and try and do it on your own, you're going to fail miserably. My. Brother and sister, when this sinks into your soul as a revelation and you start seeing this, you recognize that you are just as much Christ as Jesus Christ. You're just as much part of God. You can't lose. You can't be lost. That's where your faith, your rapture and faith is going to come from, because you recognize who you are. Not because, well, I had a good sensation, I had a good baptism, I live a good life, but you see the word walking in flesh and you recognize the flesh as your own. Nothing else is going, brother and sister. He said he knew there'd come a time when the word would manifest itself and they couldn't go no further. Look, when Brother Branham came, right? Malachi 4, Luke 17, Revelation 10, these different places were in the Bible for hundreds of years. Church age is going on, denominations going on, and then the prophet came along, and all of a sudden these words started being manifest. He said, the word time would come when the word would manifest and they could go no further. When he came out and he preached the word for that day, what happened? The denominations could go no further. They were done. It stopped them cold because they could not accept it and stay in their denominations. It's the same thing today around the message. The word comes and it's being preached and it's being manifested. And people who have already settled down into their churchianity and their message believing doctrines, and we believe it this way or that way, they don't go any further. I've been going to this church for 40 years. I've been going to this church for 50 years. I know what I'm talking about. I can tell you 50 years ago when I received the Holy Ghost, if you received the Holy Ghost 50 years ago, genuine on our soul, you would still be going forward. You would not have stopped. The evidence is there, brother and sister. Are you becoming more childlike in Christ, or are you giving more set in your ways? Are you becoming, well, you can't tell me nothing that I don't know about the message? You're right, I can't. God himself can't tell you more than you know about the message. Who is first? Moses. Then they impersonated him. But the great truths still remain the same between right and wrong. They cannot accept the message. They cannot accept the message that's unadulterated from the word of God. He said, I don't care. Judas could have done all kinds of signs and wonders. But when we come to receive the Holy Ghost at the day of Pentecost, he showed his colors. That devil can come right up and impersonate right to the very thing till it comes to this word, but he can't take all that word. Let me tell you something, bro. They can take the whole message written down. They can take the whole message on tapes. They can take the whole Bible in the Bible. They can take every quote Brother Branham quotes. You just have to twist it so it makes sense to your religion. But when that word comes off the page, that stops them cold. Brother Branham, he was praying recently, not recently, but I was listening to tape recently. He was praying, and he said something like this. I wish I had the quote, but he said, we can open this word. He said, one day we're going to close this word for the last time. He said, and then the word will be flesh. It'll be a time when we don't need this anymore. We're getting close. The word will be flesh. Brother and sister, I hope you see that happening around us. I hope you recognize it. Let me try and end here. Let me just go back to Timothy and read a little bit more. Get you out of good time. Shout out 3 and verse 8. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so did these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the truth. They're denying the power, but they have, what is the denying the power thereof? The power to produce Christ. There's plenty of power, it's not producing Christ. It's not manifesting the word. That's where they get it wrong. They had power to make their religion thrive. They had power to fill the pews in the church. But there's no Christ. Look, I'm trying to quit, but I got to say this. Revelation has said, I'm on the outside knocking, trying to get back in, right? Well, if you just raise someone from the dead, how can you say he's not in the church? Good question, isn't it? You just had this person that had cancer, they were healed of cancer, standing there, and you're going to tell me Christ is outside the church, knocking to get in? Yes, he is. Well, how can that be? Because who is Christ? You can have the power of God. You can have the false anointing once again. You can have the genuine Holy Spirit anointing you to perform signs and wonders and still not have Christ. Because Christ is the word for your day manifest. I can come up here and preach a Trinity doctrine. But if I have a gift in my life, I can be anointed by the genuine Holy Spirit and I can perform miracles. Christ is outside that church. Just because there's manifestation of the Holy Ghost inside it doesn't mean Christ is there. See how deceptive that is? How do you tell a person who just was healed, you're still wrong? My pastor prayed for me and I was healed of cancer. Great. Praise God. Where is Christ in your midst? Does that mean we don't look at miracles? No, we need to have the signs and wonders. We need to have those things because they will follow the believers. If we don't have those things going on, brother, sister, we're just as dead as anybody. That's not the main thing. The main thing is the word. The word. What is the word? Brother Branham said, give them the word test. And so people say, you know, their word test is, well, I believe it this way. Do you? No? Ha! You failed. That ain't the word test. The word test is, how did God interpret it? How did he manifest the word? There's the word test. Do you believe that? Can you accept that? Did you hear that? The voice of God speaking. Did you hear it? There's a word test. How can you tell the difference? Moses was using the power to fulfill the word. Jannes and Jambres were using power to promote themselves. Pharaoh's folks, plenty of power. See, Pharaoh says, see, I'm right. Moses, you come in, you talking about your God. My God does the same thing yours does. But you could go back what the prophet said and say, your people are going to sojourn in this land for 400 years, and I'm going to bring them out with a mighty hand. Moses could look at that and say, I have nothing to fear. I know right where I'm standing. But if all you got is, we have power to do whatever. There's our proof.
Let me keep, I am going to quit here. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith, verse 9, but they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifested to all men as theirs also was. They can't go all the way to Torah. So what it comes down to when their folly is made manifested because when the word comes for their day, it stops them. They can't keep going. But Paul says this, but you have fully known my doctrine, my manner of life, my purpose, my faith, my long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came to me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, which persecution I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. So here he says earlier, he said, these people are lovers of themselves, they're covetous boasters, and all this. But he said, but now you've known me, my manner of life. You know how my purpose, my faith, my charity, patience, the persecution, the affliction I suffered. You know, you've seen what has happened in me. Yea, and all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. It's more deceptive as we go. There's more power. But continue thou in the things that thou hast learned and has been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. So he said, you have confidence that you have seen Christ in me, so follow me as I follow Christ. You know my charity. You know my affliction. Look, wait a minute. Patience? Long-suffering? Paul? Look how he preached. He tore him to shreds. He said, you know my patience, my long suffering. He said, you know, let me read this again. You know, continue the things which thou hast learned and has been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. He said, you know that Christ has manifested himself through me, and I'm the one who's taught this. You know what I'm telling you is the truth. You see the effects of it in me. See, that's the ministry, showing, leading people to Christ, is when the Christ can see when the people can see Christ in the ministry and the things that are preached is having that effect, then you know for sure where you stand. This is where you gotta stand. You can stand, but I'm being persecuted. This is going on. But I know whom I have received this from. I've seen it have the effect in my brothers. I know if I listen to that same word, it's gonna have the effect in me. Tell you what, sometimes that's going to give me so much courage, brother and sister. When you're sitting there in a test, and the test is, are you going to keep believing, Phil? Or are you going to go back to your own efforts and trying? That's what's been one of my hardest battles. Because I was raised that way. You try hard to be a good person. And I look around and I see Christ doing things in you people's lives. And I know it's the preaching of the word has done it. I said, well, you know what? If that word will do that in him, if it'll do it in her, it will do it in me too. And I sit still and I don't get staggered. That makes me happy. Why? Because, brother and sister, I recognize Christ today in flesh. If I listen to it and I see it, I have ears to hear it, I have eyes to see it, I have faith to believe it and follow it, it's going to change my body one day. Whether I go through the grave or I come to this body here, I don't know. I really don't care too much. I just want to make sure it gets changed. Amen. Don't you? That's why you're here on a cold night trying to fight sleep and listening to me spit and snarl. Because, brother and sister, there's something inside of you that's thirsting for more Christ. It's the word, brother and sister. It's the word. Let's stand. Lord Jesus, we're grateful you would come tonight and speak. And Father, just refresh our minds in these things that you have for us, Lord. I just thank you for the anointing. I thank you for the word that you brought fresh, Lord, that wasn't in the notes or anything, but just as you come and just the way you do, Lord, meeting our needs, Father. We just thank you. I pray you be with each one here tonight, Lord. Be with the ones who couldn't make it. Just heal us. Keep us strong. Keep us moving forward, Lord. And help us not to be discouraged when we're going through the trials, but to give you praise and glory and honor, Lord, trusting us, Father, knowing this is what you have ordained for us to go through. We ask this in your name. Amen. We're going to sing that chorus one more time. Oh, I want to see him, and I hope it means a little bit more, because when we see I want to see him, it's just not the Christ that died on the cross. It's just not the one we're waiting to see in that body, but it's the one we see among us. We want to see him now, don't you?
Amen.
Amen. Oh, I want to see him. Oh, I want to see him. I'm going on a weekend vacation this weekend, so I'm going to try and get here for church. I don't know if I'll make it or not. I'm going to try. Please pray for me. Make sure you come here. Just because I'm sitting out doesn't give you an excuse. So you won't come, I'm sure you will. Anyways, God bless you. Go with God, and let's just sing this as we go. Amen. Oh, I want to see.